The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
At that time, Jesus said to Nicodemus, "The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of earthly things. But the one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, but no one accepts his testimony. Whoever does accept his testimony certifies that God is trustworthy, for the one whom God sent speaks the words of God. He does not ration his gift of the Spirit. The Father loves the Son and has given everything over to him. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever disobeys the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God remains upon him." The Gospel of the Lord. I think I really have to say a word just for the sake of biblical literacy. You know, even though we have the passage presented to us as, at that time Jesus said to Nicodemus, if you're following along in the third chapter, the Gospel of John, you say, well, that's a strange attribution. It takes us by surprise, perhaps, because there's more narration, say, in between what we heard yesterday, which was perhaps the conclusion of the discussion that Jesus had with Nicodemus, and then into what we have today. There's a kind of narrative section, and this piece is very awkward. Yeah, so I just say this is a very awkward passage to begin with, but also to ascribe it to Jesus speaking to Nicodemus is a bit of a challenge to do that. So it quite possibly is Jesus speaking. I know it might seem fruitless, you know, to say, well, it quite possibly is Jesus speaking to Nicodemus. If it's not Jesus speaking to Nicodemus, then it's the author of the gospel, which also is not to be discounted. We talk about the inspiration of the scriptures. So it's not as though it's like, well, we can just throw this one out because it's clearly not Jesus speaking to Nicodemus. It's like, no. So I just want to say, when you go back to your Bibles and you're reading it through, there's a couple points in the Bible, it's actually very interesting, where we see this kind of woven together and kind of coming in and out. Is it Jesus? Is it the author of this gospel, right? Is it the beloved disciple and the rest? And I think it's worthwhile our, say, prayer and meditation. It's also worth our study, which is why I'm offering that to you, because I think having biblical literacy matters, yeah? And so, and I think that we ought to be in our Bibles a good bit. There's a lot for us there, not only to learn, but to draw from as, say, inspiration and the fruit of, the fuel of, say, fruitful meditation. So yeah, this is, as I said, it's a bit of a strange passage, but I think it gives us some kind of direct application of what Jesus had been saying with Nicodemus, the necessity of someone being born from above or being born again. And then we saw how the one born from above is, say, driven by the Spirit, and those who are driven by the Spirit, who are born from above, they move in ways that people don't expect. And I think then we get some clarifying statements here that help us not only understand but also apply what Jesus has been saying to Nicodemus. So they say, when he says here, we're not even talking about archetypes here, but he's talking about the one who comes from above is above all, the one who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of earthly things. Let's just say, what are our hearts and our lives centered on, right? What is the force or the strength or the power of our life? Yeah, and I think I've been doing some reflection with the seven deadly sins recently, and thinking, okay, you know, pride, lust, wrath, gluttony, and these we might think of them as, say, discrete, say, sins or even sets of sins, but really these are more like forces or powers. My question would be, what are we driven by? We're driven by pride. We're driven by wrath. Right, anger. I think you guys know what that feels like. I know no one's going to look at me this morning because it's raining outside. I get how this works, you know, but it's, or maybe it's sloth. Maybe sloth is driving you this morning. Okay, that's why you're not going to look at me. Okay, so anyway, there's what is driving us, right? What are the forces that are at work in our life? And what I'd say is that those forces, we would say, are earthly, at least in a, say, application of this particular passage, right? Are we driven by the force of heaven, or are we driven by a force or forces on earth? And I think that the challenge is there when you look at the gospel and the commission to preach the gospel to all nations and to really begin a new creation. This is God's effort, His initiative, to build a new creation. He needs to have people who are driven by the force and power of heaven to have the effect, have that proper effect in the world. So we're driven by charity, right? We're driven by generosity. We're driven by grace. Driven by heaven. I don't know which one resonates best with you, but this is the one who comes from above. Yeah, we who are possessed of the Spirit, we are supposed to, and we who are somewhat unpredictable to people who are looking at us from outside, you know, this is the force that drives us. It's the Spirit. It's the power of heaven. The one who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of earthly things. Right? I mean, who can we identify those who have in them, at work in them, or working through them, the life breath of heaven, the life breath of God? And we don't have to look around and say, yeah, I can actually. Do you know it's that guy and it's not that guy? And it's, you know, that guy's got nothing of the life of heaven in him. And this, no, okay, we're ask ourselves, you know. And this could be, I think, probably fruitful meditation for us as we make our way through the day, right? To stop what we're doing and say, does this have the life breath of heaven in it, or does it not? And if it doesn't, right, we're falling a bit short of what it means to be children of God. We're falling a bit short of what it means to be Spirit-driven people. So, and of course, you know, okay, right at the very center of this, what do we have? Because I say, the way that I'm talking about it makes it seem like this is our initiative, it's our strength and wisdom and courage and rest. But actually, we see that it's not. It's Jesus. Now we, in order to be a Spirit-driven people, have to be a Jesus-centered people. And so our hearts and our minds are set on Him, and we see that He's the one who sent the accepting of the testimony and so on and so forth. You know, he is the one who is above all. He is the one who does not ration His gift of the Spirit. Right? He does not ration His gift of the Spirit. And this is powerful for us. Because it's like, okay, well, you know, I kind of dragged myself out of bed this morning and thought, I don't know how much I have to give today. Do you know? Like, it's perhaps not a great day. It's raining outside. It feels a bit dark. So let me go with like 10%, you know? let me give 10% today. You know, like, let me just show up, did it, right? And then we think, well, I'm just showing up. I'm not giving that much prep. So what am I getting as a result? Like, how am I, so I say one, okay. How is God interacting with me as I show up giving less than 100%? He's also giving me less than 100%? No. Now, my capacity to receive it might be less because I'm not bringing as much, right? Because I'm not bringing the attention, the energy, the whatever. But the reality is He's not rationing His gift of the Spirit. He's giving Himself to us whole and entire. And it's a fruitful meditation for us also when we think about that as it relates to the Eucharist. We're always receiving Jesus whole and entire. How fruitful is it? How fruitful is it? Right? So do we have, again, the life breath of God at work in us, working through us? Are our hearts and lives centered on Jesus in such measure that we can receive Him and receiving His gift of the Spirit, we're able to be driven by the Spirit in all things, in every human activity and endeavor that we're about today? But this is it. Yeah, this is, again, the promise. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. We are sharing in the life breath of heaven. We're sharing in the life breath of God. We have God's love, God's own life of love at work in us and working through us now. So it's ours to hear and heed the call of Christ today. Right. So He's taking the initiative. He's speaking the word. He's testifying to the truth. He's breathing his spirit into us. It's ours to trust and follow him in all things.